Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. In our advanced article today, we're going to find out some way that people are helping the girls in India. So stay tuned. Welcome, everyone, to Advanced. This is a program where we talk about things all over the world. And today, we're glad to have one of our editors with us today. We're glad to have you with us today, Catherine. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Doris. Thank you. How are you?
How do you like this article?
I really, really enjoyed this article. We chose it because it is really interesting, and it talks about how women in India are being helped and how they're being encouraged to try to do more than what people normally want them to do. So I really love this story.
Well, it's nice to have women. We should even have more women on this because it's kind of for women's rights. Mm-hmm. But, you know, India is one place where we often see women that can't, you know, go to school and things like that. What's another country? It's like Africa, we see that too, don't we?
Yeah, I think it happens a lot in countries that are poorer than others. Mm-hmm. There's an idea that women should be at home or taking care of the families, and unfortunately, I think that that gets them in a really negative cycle. So this is good because we're trying to break out of the negative cycle.
That's right. And so also we have Nathaniel with us today. We have to have some men's viewpoints and input on this. And don't you feel that it's really terrible the way that women are treated, though, in some of these countries, Nathaniel?
Yes. Yeah, it really is a shame how some women are treated in different places around the world. And I'm glad that there are organizations like the one we're going to talk about today that are trying to improve that situation.
You know, often people think that women are just supposed to be like servants or something like that. But it's very interesting because I heard a Bible scholar tell me that once that the word in Hebrew, when God said, I will make a woman to help the man, that word means like an angel. Mm. So women are supposed to be like angels, not like servants. So some guys don't know that. So remember that. That's what the original meaning was, to help a man do things. And so it's a different way of help, like an angel helps or like God helps. So we find that a lot of countries of the world that women are not treated well. And it's kind of sad, I think, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very sad. You don't like to see that type of thing going on, but it does. It does.
So we're going to find out about this organization. And what's the name of the organization?
This organization is called Landesa. It's an organization that was started in the 60s in Seattle.
Okay. And it's on page 32 of the magazine. And it says Landesa. It sounds like the word land, so maybe that has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Landesa, they plant seeds of hope. When you plant seeds of something, usually we talk about growing things, but here it's talking about seeds of hope. How does that explain that part?
Well, it's kind of a metaphor, we might say. We're going to talk about how these girls are going to learn gardening, and it's kind of something to give them a new resource in life or something that they can do to support themselves. And we're going to see how that can help them in this article.
Yeah. Right. We often talk about, like, education. Teachers are planting seeds or ideas in children's minds. Mm-hmm. They're telling them things that will help that person develop their life and their character. So planting seeds of hope means giving them some reason to think that they can have a better future. Isn't that right?
That's right. I like to think of it as a starting point. It's giving them a starting point so that maybe they can do something better in their future life.
Okay. So it's a Seattle base. That means that's the hometown of it. It's providing future for girls in India. So let's start reading right now. Let's take the first paragraph through line 12.
Landesa plants seeds of hope. The Seattle-based nonprofit is providing a future for girls in India. Mamata Buri hopes her garden can save her. When the 16-year-old is not cleaning, cooking, or otherwise caring for her four younger siblings, she waters and weeds patches of garlic, radishes, and green chilies. She harvests bay leaves and tends pumpkins, beans, and bottle gourds that grow near her family's cowshed. Mamata's garden produces all the vegetables her family eats. She hopes the surplus will generate enough cash to stop her parents from marrying her off. "I feel afraid," she said. "They say, 'You're not doing anything tangible. If I can sell whatever I grow, they might think of delaying my marriage.'"
We're not sure if we're pronouncing all of these Indian names correctly, but you can read them there. And the English part we can be more sure of, can't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're a little more familiar with the American names, I think.
But although some of the American names are a little hard, aren't they?
They can be. They can be.
But we're talking about this girl. We'll call her Mamata. That sounds easier to say. That she hopes that her garden can save her. Save her from what?
Well, I believe that what they're talking about is saving her from an early marriage. A lot of times in India, young girls are married off quickly because their families think that they have no other choice with what to do for their daughters.
Right. A lot of countries of the world, they marry off their daughters because they think that they just, you know, have to feed them, and they're just kind of wasting money on them, and they don't feel that there's any real value. And that's kind of hard for a person's self-esteem, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And also, for me, it would make me feel hopeless. If I were a young girl, I'd think, why bother going to school? Why bother doing anything? I'm just going to have to get married when I'm 17 years old. And I think
some
that's
even
really
younger,
sad.
Right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So she was 16, when she's talking about this, and she's taking care of her four younger brothers and sisters. They call those siblings, right? If you say boys or girls, but the boys or girls, you say siblings, don't you?
That's right.
She was taking care of them. What did she do? What kind of work was she doing every day, Nathaniel?
Well, she was doing some cleaning and some cooking as well as taking care of the kids. But now we also see that she waters and weeds patches of garlic, radishes, and green chilies too.
So she kind of works as a gardener. And she harvests these bay leaves and takes care of the pumpkins and the beans and the, oh my goodness, she's a regular farmer, isn't she?
I know, and I really kind of want to comment because when I think of myself as a 16-year-old girl, I didn't do any of this. She seems very mature for her age.
Well, yeah, she still had to take care of the younger kids too, probably.
Right.
So she really was kind of like a slave almost, seems to me.
Well, or maybe she's doing it out of sense of family obligation, you know.
Or she
maybe
has
her
to.
Mother. Yeah, exactly, obligation.
Right.
So.
Well, anyway, that she knows that this garden though produces all the vegetables that her family eats. So that part is good because she's growing things that her family can eat. And then what does she hope that will do?
She hopes the surplus will generate enough cash to stop her parents from marrying her off. So that's going to be very important to her. It's a big goal in her life, I'm sure.
That's right. When you generate enough something, that means that you cause it to happen, right?
That's right. And also the word surplus there, I think what they're talking about is the extra food. So Mamata's garden, she makes the food, so they eat what they can, and then all the surplus or the extra food, that's what they sell. So that's
right.
A very big responsibility for this girl.
Well, it is. But she thinks it will have a certain result. What is she hoping for?
She's hoping that her parents will not marry her off. And if you marry someone off, you are given in marriage.
Right.
Like your parents or parents might give their daughter to someone to be married. Yeah.
So they're hoping that they will not give her away to be married or to marry her off.
That's right. She wants to do something different with her life. She'd like to have a little bit more of a choice in what happens to her.
Well, besides that, she's quite young, actually, to get married, to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So she just feels that, you know, if she can do something like that, if you're not doing anything very definite, so she said tangible means something you can see or touch, tangible.
Right.
So she thinks, well, maybe if I can sell things and bring money into the family, then what might happen?
Well, her parents will think that she can do something to help support the family, do something useful, and then they'll trust her to make her own decision later about who she wants to marry or how she wants to lead her life.
Well, they may not let her make her own decision, but they might delay the marriage. Didn't say that they'd let her make her own decision.
That's true. That's true.
You're going too far there, Nathaniel. That's very Western thinking. You know, a lot of these girls don't have any choice. They try to marry them off to people who have enough money or something like that.
That's right. I think a lot of times in these countries, marriages are seen as connections instead of a love thing. It's all about who can we marry to bring more income to the family.
But she really doesn't want to get married when she's 16, so she's hoping that we'll put it off, right?
Yes, and trust me, if I were her, I would be feeling the exact same way.
I know. It's better to work. She'd still have to work after she got married, too, wouldn't she?
Well, that's true. I mean, then she would be the sole caretaker of the family. Her husband
and have
would
babies
be out.
Besides, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No wonder she wants to put it off a little bit, right?
Right.
Well, let's read this next section here about proving their worth. Let's read that.
Proving their worth. Mamata got that idea, and her gardening skills, from a weekly girls' group she helps lead. The group is part of a pilot project of the Seattle-based nonprofit Landessa, a new twist on that organization's decades-long effort to use access to land as a way of pulling people out of poverty in India, China, Africa, and elsewhere. The project, underwritten by the Nike Foundation and a private donor, is part of a new girls' empowerment program run by the Indian government. In 299 villages in far northeast India, Landessa's program has taught roughly 7,800 girls how to garden in hopes of increasing their economic value to their families. The idea is that if they are considered assets rather than extra mouths to feed, the girls might complete their educations and break out of the poverty cycle. Even if they do not, they will know how to grow food on even small plots of land, improving their nutrition and that of their future children. The gardening skills also come with extensive lessons in women's rights, which Landessa hopes will encourage girls to fight back against child marriage, as well as rape, prostitution, and other forms of abuse.
It's too bad that we have to prove our worth when we're born, but I guess that's the idea for these girls. Does a guy have to prove his worth? Not really.
In these type of situations, I do think there is less pressure on the boys. There's probably just some more natural expectations that they will go on to do something to naturally provide for
their
family.
Get good grades in school, make lots of money, right? But for the girls, it's a little bit harder. They have to prove that they are worth keeping. And you kind of like to feel when you're part of a family that you're worth keeping just because you're part of the family, don't you?
Yeah. In fact, that kind of what you just said breaks my heart a little bit, because you want to think of your family as, you know, unconditionally loving you. And the fact that these young girls, they just have to prove that they're worth something to their families of all people, it's very sad.
It's a different system than most of us in the West, you know, think about. We think about when you get married, supposedly you're in love with that person. And so because you love them, you want to have their children. But if you're marrying somebody you don't even know hardly and you just have children, there's not that same feeling of affection sometimes. So that, you know, so who is this kid? It's just somebody that helps in the family.
Yeah, that's true. And to get married that young and to be that, I don't know, maybe innocent, it'd be very, very hard to be a young girl in India.
Right. But to try to prove her worth, she's not only doing this, but she also has a weekly girls group that she helps to lead. So she's quite a leader, actually.
Yes, she is. Yes, she's learning these gardening skills from that group. So there's obviously someone there to teach her as well, but she's kind of taken this responsibility of leading the other girls also.
Now, this is part of a pilot project. And what is a pilot project?
It's basically when you test something. We usually talk about pilot TV shows. It's the very, very first show of it. TV
right.
show. So this would be the very first try maybe for this group.
Right. When you're trying something out, it's testing it out. Mm-hmm. You call it this. So there's this part of this group that's called Landesa, and it's from Seattle. And this group is trying to really help use the land to help people get out of poverty. What countries do they work in?
It lists a few here in this article. It says India, which we're talking largely about today, but China and the continent of Africa as well, and some other places that maybe are not mentioned right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these countries that have been developing economically, probably even others in Southeast Asia and other places where there are poorer people.
I think so, and I know that there's a few places in East Asia. I read online that Kazakhstan mm-hmm. was one of them, but there are definitely countries where there is an unending cycle of poverty where people cannot break out.
Mm. Well, it's strange there in Seattle, Washington, that they would think of this idea. Now, this idea started from a man whose name is Prosterman. And before we leave page 32, it says on the right, left, and side, it says Prosterman's wisdom. What does it say about that? Would you read that?
Sure. It says, Roy Prosterman, a University of Washington law professor, started Landesa's work in the 60s. Originally called the Rural Development Institute, it sprang from Prosterman's belief that stealing land from the rich to give to the poor was a recipe for violence. He made a case for buying land at market rates and giving it to poor people.
So this was his idea. Now, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about the stealing land thing because, you know, if take away from people that have it and give it to other people. That was tried in Africa and different mm-hmm. places too. Mm. But that's kind of – there's a lot of resentment. After all, this is my land and you can't take it away from me. So I could see that that wouldn't always work very well.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think it would cause a lot of resentment. And what they're trying to do is something more positive. And if you just take away someone's land, that's going to have a lot more negative effects than positive.
Now, this Roy Prosterman, he was a law professor, so he believes in the law. So mm-hmm. if somebody owns the land, he doesn't want to take it away from them, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So buy it. So he started this project. So he must have heard about these people, and he started this project. But he had to get people to help fund it. It's always hard to get money to do these things. Who did he go to?
Well, the beginning of the next page, page 33, it says the project was underwritten by the Nike Foundation and a private donor. So Nike and this other private anonymously named person here, they are financially responsible for this project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it says here that it's a girls empowerment program. Mm-hmm. So what would be an empowerment program?
Well, it's a program that helps girls feel like they have more freedom. Basically, if you empower someone, you support them, you tell them you can do it. It's all about making them believe in themselves and understand their rights and what they deserve out of life and things like that.
In fact, you know, it's actually giving them a certain amount of power to make decisions and to decide things. You are giving them the authority to do things, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's part of the power there, being authority. You feel like you have the right to do something there, yeah.
Now, this program is run by the Indian government because they realize this situation too.
Mm-hmm.
And in India, it tells us more about this in Northeast India. What does it say there on line 3 and 4 up there?
Well, it says that in 299 villages in Northeast India, the program has taught roughly or about 7,800 girls how to garden.
That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. 7,800 girls are doing gardening so they can increase their economic value to their families. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
It is. I mean, that's a great thing. And it kind of makes me think again, you know, this thought that you have to have economic value for your family. But I guess there is a different perspective when there are so many families in poverty in these areas. They kind of do have to consider some of those things.
I think gardening, of course, is a good idea because they need the food and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think in some countries, in other places, they have people do handicrafts. I mean, they sell things. They make, you know, rugs and in different places across in the Russian area there. They sell all kinds of products, too.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that there are some places in Southeast Asia where women are taken out of their really bad situations and they're taught how to make jewelry to sell.
Right.
So that's also another way.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And then to weave things and clothing. So in a way, that sounds almost easier than this farming. That's kind of hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, but maybe in a country like India where people are buying things. In India, people buy things more out of necessity than because they want stuff. So food is a necessary item that you need more than jewelry or handicrafts.
Well, I guess the handicrafts, if you know how to sell them and get rid of them, you could bring the money in to buy things. But I think they also need the food themselves.
Right.
So you help the family so that they're not putting money out for you. You're helping them. So you're helping the family eat. There's four younger kids in her family.
Mm-hmm.
She's helping to feed them. So she's an important person to the family.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they must rely on her a lot. Because she's doing a lot for that family.
So all these other 7,800 girls, they hope that they can increase their economic value so that, that not only feed the families, but bring in some income. And then they'll say, we better keep her because she is helping the family.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole goal, intention of this program is to give that kind of value to these girls.
That's what it says down there, you know, starting about in line 8 there is talking about the idea that they are considered an asset. The opposite of that would be a liability. Mm-hmm. If you're a liability, that means that you're costing people something. If you're an asset, you're making it valuable. Mm-hmm. So they want the girls to be an asset. If they are a liability, what would they be? Just an extra mouth to feed, right?
Well, that's right. If they're just an extra mouth to feed, it's considered that they don't do anything. They don't make any money. They don't have any value.
We just have to feed them.
Yeah. They're just sitting there not contributing anything is the thought.
But the point is if they can do this, they still hope the girls will complete their education. And by completing their education, something else could happen.
The hope is that they would break out of the poverty cycle so they don't have to live in a family that is so bound by how much money they have to use and how much food they might have. Yeah,
and might even get another job, maybe in an office someday. Who knows?
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that's why it's so important that they complete their educations because if they are married this young, they can't do anything else other than grow food.
So. They would never learn how to do other things or be able to help out.
Yeah.
So this is telling us that they could break out of this poverty cycle of one family after another. You have children and they're poor. And they have children and they're poor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to break out of that and get into something better, right?
That's right. Like we've said earlier, India has the really, really bad poverty cycle. So it's really important that they start learning how to do these things.
And even if they don't learn a lot of things, at least they know how to grow food on these small plots of land, and they can improve their health, their nutrition, and that of their future children. So they'll be eating good things. So they teach them how to grow things that are good for them.
Right. So there's kind of a few different advantages. One is just that whether they stay in this kind of low-income type of environment or not, they will still be able to provide for their family in one way.
So this Landesa agency that is based in Seattle, it's a nonprofit, and they not only help the girls learn how to farm, but they also teach them that girls have certain rights. What it tells us in the last paragraph, today's lesson.
Well, they have lessons in women's rights, like you just said, and they hope that it will encourage girls to fight back against certain things like marriage and other forms of abuse. So this program really, really encourages girls to know that they have rights, that they deserve to be treated well, that they should be educated.
Right. There's a lot of things, you know, that we see on TV and in different countries and campaigning against women's prostitution and selling women, you know, and this type of thing. And there's a lot of people are fighting this all over the world. rape, prostitution. These are all what they call abuse. Mm-hmm. What is abuse, actually?
Well, if someone is abused, they are treated in a way that really is not acceptable. It's harming them, hurting them, probably not only their body, but also their emotional life, even their mental capacity. All these things are being hurt by such kinds of abuse.
So these people that from this Landesa Foundation, they train them, they teach them farming, but they also teach them and encourage them when things happen, you can do something about it. You can fight back.
That's right. And I find that in a country like India, where things have kind of been going downhill lately, it's very encouraging to see something like this. Because like we said earlier, it's all about planting seeds, about teaching girls that they can do more.
So this is a lesson of hope, really, to find out that people are doing these things. They're against the slavery for women in the world. That's a big campaign that's going on all over the world, selling kids into prostitution. And then here's a place where they're trying to keep these girls from having an early marriage for somebody they don't even know, and sometimes even younger than 16. It's really sad, isn't it?
It is. So hopefully this program will help.
Right. So this man, Prosterman, he thought, well, this is a way we can let them know how to take care of their families. And if they do get married, at least they'll be able to know how to have some good, proper food for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I think this is a wonderful program. I really do. Yeah.
We'll review some of the words that we've used tomorrow, and we'll go on to find out more about some of the challenges they have in this program. I think it'll be good for us to know more about this, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting, and it's also important, too, I think.
So we'll be back here at the same time. We'll see you then, and we'll continue with part two of this lesson. Have a good day today, and be thankful if you're a woman that you can get an education, get a job, but we also need to help these other women in the world, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll see you again tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.